Business Brain, episode 531 for Casual Friday, March 8th, National Proofreading Day, 2024. Welcome to Business Brain, the show where we take several ideas, we analyze, we dissect, we extract, we impart from them such that we can use them to tune our business brains each and every time we get together in order for each of us to keep living those charmed lives. Sponsors for this episode include GoSquaredAway.com/contact. Squared Away empowers highly educated military spouses to become your remote executive assistants. We'll talk more in depth about that in a bit. For now, here in Durham, New Hampshire on Casual Friday, I'm Dave Hamilton.
I love Friday, man. It's Shannon Jean from Lafayette, California. How's it going, man?
It goes. Do you take... I do this. It's not. This isn't a judgment thing. It's a curiosity thing. Are the weekends different for you now that you're an empty nester? Than the weekdays? Like, do you still mostly compartmentalize your work to the week and give yourself a different change of pace on the weekends?
Mostly.
Yes.
But not all the time. But
right.
It really depends on, like this week, when this show airs on Friday, I'll be up at our new river house that we're getting ready to, you know, have guests and everything up there.
Yep.
So I will be working on that business and just work right through the weekend, right?
Sure.
But, you know, that kind of thing. But if I'm home, yeah, then I'll say like, oh, it's Saturday. You know what? I'm going to work in the garage. I'm going to clean the garage out. Da, da, da. I typically am not going to do that during the week. So yeah, I keep kind of a schedule like that.
Same.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some weeks where it changes. Like right before we left for Mexico on a Tuesday. And so I basically worked through the weekend before that, getting some things ready so that I could be like, give myself a greater chance of detaching while we were in Mexico, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And it's fine.
It's managing your energy and how you apply it.
Talk to me more about this managing of the energy, would you?
That smooth segue.
Yeah.
So yeah. But before we get into our main topic today, I wanted to just mention this concept that, and the reason I'm mentioning it is because it just happened. I just had the flip switch or the switch flip. When I'm starting a new business or a new project, I'm putting all of my energy into it. I'm just focused. Like, okay, I'm going to build, I'm going to grind. I've done this a number of times. Like I talked about on the show on Wednesday, you know, I'm starting at zero again with something new. So I've got to put the energy in. And I've been doing that for months and months and months. And there becomes a time, hopefully, when I look back at things that I've been successful at, that energy switch, it goes in reverse. It flips.
Yeah.
And the project or the business that you're working on, or maybe even the people you're working with, they start pushing the energy back to you instead of requiring it that you're the driver all the time, which is not sustainable. If you're the one that has to just constantly put the energy in over and over and over and focus and provide the fuel for it.
Yeah.
In my experience, if you never start getting that energy back, I think you got to change something. You'd have to change who you're working with. You have to change the project. Maybe you have to change your business. And I really saw it last week as I was grinding to build this followers, trying to get to 1,000 followers. We talked last week about it.
Yep.
Man, it was a grind. And I have some groups that I'm involved in that we're helping each other. And I was like, everybody's hitting this but me. What is the deal? And it's not that I was going to give up, because I just don't do that. But
yeah.
I was pushing lots of energy into this, man. Like, nope, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And commenting in, you know, doing lots of stuff to help grow my account. And then Thursday, I posted a post.
Yeah.
And it was talked about motivation for my family, yada, yada, yada. And it just took off. And it got like 90,000 posts or 90,000 views. And tons of comments, very positive, and all kinds of questions and, you know, things like that. It was it was a phenomenal experience.
And the energy came back. It was them giving you the energy back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I was like, ooh. And of course, if you're not into what I'm doing, there's hardly anybody you can talk to because you're like, oh, big deal. Whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah,
but,
nobody.
But
gets
I have
it.
A group of people that is involved that I'm involved with. We're growing together, which is I highly recommend you do if you're trying to do something like this.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I felt the energy shift. I when I went back down to our house after working, I told my wife. I said, you know, I can feel it. It's like a tingling in my fingertips.
Yes.
It's like when I sat back down, I didn't want to put my phone down because I kept reading these comments. And I'm like, wow, man.
It's the dopamine hit.
The dopamine hit, yeah. But that energy transfer, and it's kept up all weekend long, and it's kept up today, and I feel it. I'm like, okay, it's giving it back now, which prompts me to even take more action.
Yeah,
now
it fuels
I can,
you.
Now, yeah. Yeah, it fuels it. Now I can build a little more. Now I can invest even a little more because I feel like it's working. And it's just a little bit. So I would love to hear, you know, if anybody else feels that way or, you know, if that's a crazy thought, but feedback at businessbrain.show. If you're energized like that and you need that reverse at some point, talk with us.
All right, Business Brain listeners, picture this. You're knee-deep in tasks. Your to-do list is a wild beast, and every little thing feels like a tug of war with time itself. Sound familiar? Well, it's time for some backup. And not just any backup. I'm talking our sponsor, Squared Away. With their squad of remote executive assistants, all highly educated military spouses, Squared Away turns your chaotic juggle into a graceful ballet. They're the secret sauce for focusing on what truly matters, slicing through your tasks like a hot knife through butter. And let me tell you, the range of tasks they've taken on for entrepreneurs like us, it's like reading a magician's to-do list, from event planning to grant writing to more peculiar tasks like booking a flight for a dog or hunting down the perfect puppeteer for reasons. And yes, even making sure virtual baby showers go off without a hitch. Imagine leaning on your Squared Away team for everything from the labyrinth of paperwork to coordinating travel itineraries that don't make you want to pull your hair out. It's like having a personal wizard dedicated to making sure nothing falls through the cracks. So if you're ready to transform your business chaos into that charmed entrepreneurial life, it's time to get Squared Away. Contact Squared Away today to see how they can support your business. Just go to gosquaredaway.com/contact. That's gosquaredaway.com/contact. Let Squared Away be the secret weapon in your business arsenal. And our thanks to Squared Away for sponsoring this episode. All right. I was talking with a listener, a friend, about he's starting a new business. Let's put it this way. And it's not his first business, but it is the first business that he's starting where it is already his full-time gig. Okay. He's had side hustles before.
Sure. All right.
That's different, right, than, you know, relying on this thing to, like, not just be the thing you can, you know, have enough work to do, but eventually to drive an income. And he's got a couple of partners with this. And he asked me, asked me a lot of questions, in fact, but one of them, the one that I want to focus on here, was how do you pay yourselves when you're just, you know, when the only people working in the business are the three partners and, you know, income is ramping up. So you don't have this, you know, steady, predictable, stable base where you can pay yourself salaries or whatever that is. Like, how do you do that? And I thought, oh, well, what a topic to talk about here, because this is something I think many of us have had to solve. Many of us will have to solve either again or in the future. And I've done it a few different ways. The first thing to do is to figure out what each partner needs from the business. I've started businesses where everyone either is financially independent where everyone is financially independent from the business, whether that means they just have more money than they need or they have an income stream from somewhere else or something.
Right.
And with that's treated a little differently than a business where one or more of the partners needs to draw income as soon as possible and as regularly as possible, right? Like that, yes. That can happen. And either of these scenarios is okay. I always say you kind of have to go with the lowest common denominator makes it sound bad. It's not actually bad. But if one person in the business needs to take money out, then you need to do distributions for everybody at the same time equally, or you'll wind up in a scenario where one person's too much, you know?
Yeah. So, if you have the funds to do those distributions.
If you have, well, I want to come, let's put a pin in that. But the idea, also, go ahead.
What the roles are. I mean, if somebody's coming in as an advisor, investor, or whatever, that's one thing. Versus if you have an operating partner,
yes,
that's like, hey, I'm going to be there every day, so I, you know, they are going to get a salary based on their operating of the business.
That's right. This is a business where everyone's all of the partners are operating partners. There's silent partners, but you're right with silent or non-active partners. That's different. Mm-hmm. And then you do need to kind of come up with things, you know, a way of distributing that around.
Yeah.
But these are all active partners actively working in the business together. And the percentages of ownership that they've come up with are percentages that all of them are comfortable with. And that's really all that matters in terms of ownership percentages. If everybody's on board, then everybody's on board. But he asked me, he said, how do you do this? I said, well, it depends on how much cash the business is bringing in. But when I've started a business, the way I've done it is a percentage of profits after what I always call the war chest, right? You know, every business needs a cushion. For whatever reason, I've always called it the war chest. You know, how much money, what's the minimum amount of money we want to have in the bank so that we don't have to worry about putting money from our pockets back in the business for operating expenses, right? And that really is like the first milestone of success, if the business can pay for itself. And the way they're doing this business, it kind of automatically pays for itself, which is great. You know, So their expenses are, other than some really minimal things, their expenses are very much tied to their income. So think of it as commission, but it's not, that kind of thing. So great. No problem. Once you've set whatever that minimum is, great. Then pick a time period. Monthly is what I've always chosen because it's not so frequent that it's a burden, but it's not infrequent. So every month, on a specific day, that same day of the month, I've always done it where we go in and we take what we have in the bank. We subtract the previously agreed upon number of the minimum balance in the bank.
The war chest.
The war chest. And whatever's left over, we distribute according to percentage ownership of the business. Again, as long as everybody's an active partner. If you had that's generally how I've done it. With one business we had our minimum number of the war chest, and then we had a goal number of the war chest. We knew that we needed X to run the business, but really we wanted about 4 times X as the really comfortable cushion based on some possible future needs of things that we wanted to do. So what we would do is we would take, you know, we set the minimum number. Great. When it came time the next month to do, you know, the first month rather, to do the distribution, we subtracted, you know, we did the math. There was the amount that we were going to split. And instead of it being 100% split amongst the three partners, it was 95% split amongst the three partners. Mm-hmm. We added 5% to the war chest. And then after adding 5% to the war chest, we increased the minimum number of the war chest, right? Yeah, and we knew what the ceiling was so that we weren't just going to increase it ad nauseum. But, you know, and then once that was it, then that was the minimum. And we increased by 5% of whatever the leftover was the next month. And it didn't take us very long to get to that war chest number where we were like, oh, now we have everything we need. Now we can go to distributing 100%.
I will tell you from a different perspective, because you've never had inventory.
Fair.
Inventory changes everything because it is the monster that can suck out all your cash.
Yep.
And if you're, you know, depending upon what your margins are, you have to spend a certain amount. Now, if you're a manufacturer, you have to create a certain amount of product.
Yep.
But if you're a reseller, you have to buy a certain amount of product to resell to make those numbers work.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're going to make 50% margin, just to keep things very simple, you know, you want to make $50,000, well, we got to buy $100,000 worth of product and sell it every month, right? Just very gross, really easy. So,
wouldn't you buy $25,000 worth of product?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just doing the math.
Whatever the numbers are, you figure it out. I'm math in public always scares me.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, but you know, at the end, it's never as clean as you want it to be. It's not like, oh, well, we just drive that number down to zero, and at the end of the month, we can see. It never is that way. Your inventory creeps, and yeah, maybe you sell 83% of it last month, or maybe you only sold 64% of it. So then you're stuck with, okay, we've got this product that's taking up cash. Your inventory can creep up and up and up and up, and it impacts your available cash. So then what do you do? So in those cases, I've just decided, okay, what's your salary requirement? You know, at the end of the year, we're going to take out the same thing. What's your requirement? You know, how do we deal with this? And when I was young, I didn't have much of a requirement because I was young. It didn't have, you know, expenses like you build up over time.
Yes.
And so, you know, you have your partners go, okay, guys, what do you want to take? You know, okay, we need a couple grand a month, whatever it is to get started.
Yeah.
Or in the beginning, we can't take anything. Okay, we got to start building up some cash. But then, you know, a year
when you hit your war chest,
you got it. A year into it, okay, I want to take this. Like Dave, when you and I started deals on the web, the goal was to generate enough money to hire someone. That was our number one goal, so that we wouldn't have to do the day-to-day work, and we eventually did that. But at Mac Rescue, when we started that, my partner and I, well, we had young families. We needed to take a check. You know, I needed to have it. So we were employees of the corporation, and we just got a salary. We both agreed on what our salary was going to be.
Yep.
And it wasn't, unless you were broke, it didn't hit at the end of the month like, wow. And don't get me wrong, there were times where you could not keep that check. You couldn't get paid because you had to make payroll. So there's definitely different ways to do it.
Yep.
The number one thing for me would be to keep it lean as possible.
Yes.
And live as frugally, is that a word? Frugal.
It is.
Be as frugally as you can.
Yep.
And then when times are good, you can take out more.
Yeah.
And you have a great quarter, a great month, a great year, because you're also going to want to reward your employees, and maybe some smoking hot deal comes along.
And you want to take advantage of it.
And you need $1 million. And where are you going to get it? And maybe you can't borrow from the bank. So you need to have access to capital so you can go deep and hit hard on it. So it gets very complicated.
No, it gets over to it. Yeah. It's easier when you're starting sure. Yeah. Once with the scenario I described, that generally has lasted maybe 2 years.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's about right.
Like, but you know, somewhere between 6 and 24 months. And then at that point, We even in the businesses that I described where we had the multi-tiered thing and all that, I think it was about the 1 year mark, maybe the 18 month mark. We were like, all right, great. Businesses. Now we can predict what this business is doing.
That's it.
We set a salary for ourselves, which if you have an LLC is a guaranteed payment because you're not supposed to pay yourself as an employee. But the IRS doesn't really care in my experience. Talk to your accountant. And then we just paid ourselves the salary, and then once a quarter we would evaluate our war chest and decide do we have anything that, you know, we want to spend this on, like, that is what I'll call controlled growth or chosen growth, which is different from the, hey, a smoking hot deal appeared, we need to do this today. You know, like that's different. You still have control over it, but it's not planned growth, right? That's just like, it fell into our lap. Do we want to take advantage of this or not? And we would, you know, decide, all right, yep, let's leave X in the bank. Great. That leaves Y as leftover. So let's distribute that like we used to, you know, according to percentages, and we're done. And it worked out fine.
And I would say that you either need to have a strong operating agreement that you've got built into, or if you're not at the point yet, you're just starting out or in the planning stages, use the working agreement.
Yes.
That we've talked about here on the show. You can email feedback@businessbrain.show and we'll get you an updated copy of that. I was just working on it the other day. That working agreement is great because it's also an exercise in working together with these partners.
Yeah.
Because I've had potential partners that just, we could not get this agreement figured out. And I would say, hey, you know what? That's kind of a harbinger of the way things might be. So let's not do this deal.
Let's just pull the plug on it before anybody gets too deep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way I like to do it is to give them a blank one and you take a blank one.
Ooh.
And based on the way you've discussed everything, hey, it's going to be great. I mean, you're in the beginning, everything's sunshine and rainbows. But in the working agreement, it's like, what happens when things go wrong? And what is the distribution of profit,
funds? Yes.
Funds. All that stuff is in that working agreement that you can work through. It's not as formal as an operating agreement.
No, but it can become the basis for your operating agreement.
It really does become the basis for that.
Yeah.
But it's a great exercise and I would highly recommend it because I think you can solve a lot of these problems.
I agree.
Because the key is, if you haven't picked it up, it's flexibility. It's talking to someone because someone may say, you know what, I'm at this stage and I don't need that monthly revenue, so I'll bank it. But I know you're growing and you need this and whatever. You've got a young family or you have this. You do it.
And well, I want to, that's the pin that we put in, and I want to leave that pin in until the next episode because I think this is, there are some indicators, some litmus tests to run and some very dangerous scenarios that you might be able to avoid by really digging in with your partners to be and finding out whether they are actually your partners to be or not.
Like
so we will discuss that in the next episode. For now, this is the way Business Brain rolls.
And we'd love to hear how you guys do it. How do you handle distribution of profits or salaries with your partners, all that stuff. feedback@businessbrain.show. Or let us know if you want a copy of the working agreement template. Dave and I have, played around with that for years and love to share it with you.
Absolutely. feedback@businessbrain.show. Just like he said, make sure you check out gosquaredaway.com/contact. And do me a favor, would you? Please keep living that charmed life. We'll see you next week.